tonight. It's the part you've all been waiting for, with Luke coming to us from New York with the whole scoop. He's been playing the Wii games. I'm going to refrain from any of the stupid Wii jokes. But Luke, you get to take the lead, man. What's it been like playing those games?
It's kind of been a little bit disappointing, actually. And I hate to sort of just come in there, you know, it's gloomy and doomy in New York, and it's kind of gloomy and doomy for a lot of the Wii software, I think. I know John on his blog was talking about how he didn't want to hear me talk about it as a peripheral, but, you know, I still am seeing that same sort of, like, peripheral games. And the games that aren't peripherals, like Legend of Zelda, I mean, those games look incredible, and that game is playing better. It looks better. Another positive thing there was Metroid. Metroid Prime 3 Corruption was actually in a lot better shape. So, but the other stuff, like...
Well, how about we start right here? What were the good games that you played?
Metroid Prime Corruption is in a lot better shape than I thought it would be. It does, like I wrote in the preview that I wrote for 1UP, it does exactly, at this one point in the demo, what I want out of a Wii game, which is, like, using the Wii controller as, like, an immersive tool instead of using it as, like, it's a tennis racket, it's a pool cue, it's a gun. That shit's stupid and easy. I like that it's push in the canister, twist the canister, the Wii becomes, you know, an extension of you.
But I mean,
and that's something that they need to explore in the game space.
Luke, I mean, to be honest, from E3, you also weren't into, like, the quick, casual pick-up-and-play games then either. It's maybe you're just not into those types of games, because other people who are playing these are really into, like, Wii Sports or into the mini-games.
Well, that was a good setup, because I think that WarioWare is really fun.
Well, yeah, I'm really pissed off that we're not getting WarioWare this year, and Japan's getting it launched. I mean, there's no reason.
Do we know why that's happening?
I mean, the same reason that happened with DS. Like, they just don't think it's, like, a viable launch title here, I guess. It's weird.
But you would think the success of WarioWare would, you know.
It's a bigger deal in Japan than it is here.
Yeah. Luke, what feedback did you get there on WarioWare?
Not a lot of feedback. I mean, there wasn't anyone directing that particular game when I was playing it. There was just the NOA reps were watching the stuff like Red Steel and making sure you were getting around okay in Corruption. I mean, with WarioWare, they were just, you know, they weren't really there. There was a guy next to it demoing the Mii channel, which is something that I thought was actually kind of cool in its own way. It seemed like Nintendo's answer to the customization that Xbox Live and Xbox 360 offers you with your gamer's card. The Mii is a very, like, Nintendo-y spin on that, I think, at least.
You know, the whole channel concept, I was really surprised by that. I didn't expect it to be so fully fleshed out. And it seems really Japanese to me, the whole idea that, you know, you have this weather channel, you can, like, make your little avatar, which looks really cute, and you can leave, like, notes for your family members and send, like, phone messages to
phone
it.
Phone text, and the whole text messaging
that's
thing?
That's all very Japanese,
yeah,
though. Like,
but I think
it seems like a little, maybe too Japanese.
But I don't need it. I had this argument yesterday in my office.
What, the weather thing?
Yeah, about the weather channel.
It's not aimed at people like
us. I mean, it's cool. I think it's all very cool, but I wonder if, like, it'll turn some hardcore gamers off because it seems like too much like a...
But the gamble is, for the hardcore gamers, it might turn off. What people that have never tried a game system might it turn on? I was talking to my wife about it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, when it's just sat there, you can, you know, it'll tell you the weather and stuff. And she's, and her perception of that was, oh, that's pretty cool and kind of friendly.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool. Like, it's surprising.
And I think the fact that it will message with phones is really significant. I mean, this is, you know, it's not brand new functionality for anything, but the fact that a gaming message system is going to finally deliver. I mean, Sony have been talking about doing this with the Sony Ericsson phones for a long time. And when the PSP launched, we thought that was going to be part of the strategy.
Right.
It never happened. So...
But wait, wasn't Wii supposed to win on games and gaming? And now we're talking about how, oh, it has all these other bullshit functionalities.
But it's not the bullshit functionality that's the key. The bullshit functionality is making it friendly to non-gamers.
I like that we're championing something that we're also calling bullshit. I think, just sitting there watching the press conference, too, I was really surprised when they were really surprised to see them rolling out all this functionality. The Wii is way, way, way more of a convergence device than I expected it to be. I mean, even though the news story broke the night before, like, seeing them run through, you know, the different Wii channels and, like, the Wii photo demonstration was pretty cool. And it's like, I don't know if people are necessarily going to use this, like, tech-savvy people, but I think that somewhere...
You don't know. Wait a minute. I can answer that for you. They won't. Who the hell wants to surf the internet at 480 on their TV screen? Give me a freaking break. pay money for it. I know. Yeah, I want to pay
the
money.
The browser costs money, surprisingly. I thought it would be packed in.
The internet browsing, not so much, but the photo stuff sounds like Apple-ish to
me. It's very Apple. It's also what Sony's been talking about with the PS3. It's what they talked about with the PS2 that they're finally doing on PS3. But part of the problem is this is another fucking device that is designed to do that. I mean, how many things do we need that, oh, you can look at your photos, you can listen to your music.
But like, think about how affordable this is compared to to iPods or TiVos or whatever people have. For the average consumer, this is like a pretty high-end device that does a lot of things for a very small amount of money.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get it.
Doesn't play DVDs though.
Well, DVD players are $30.
Mm-hmm. I started us off into games because I wanted to get on a little bit of a positive note before we jumped into the price thing, which I know everyone's been at the top of their list. Luke, let's let you start off. What was your reaction to the whole announcement of pricing and the peripherals and all that?
Well, I mean, they came in exactly where they said they would, under $250. So there's the good. The bad is they came in $50 too high. The excuse can be the packed-in sports game, I don't think most consumers care about. What we should be concerned with is the price of these fucking controllers.
Yep.
It's awful.
Not really.
Not really? What the hell?
Because you don't need... What are the odds of you needing 4 nunchucks? You probably don't. You probably...
You're right. Just a second one.
What you should do is you should give only one person the controls to play the game, and the other three people who want to play should be disadvantaged by not having the extra because you were too cheap to shell $20.
How much is an Xbox 360 controller, and then how much is the charging station for it, and how much is a PS3 controller going to be?
It's all too much. Like, it doesn't justify $60.
To buy a full set of Xbox 360, it's $60 too.
I mean, Jeremy Parrish wrote an awesome blog last night about this entire thing. It's like $60, too much. $50 for wireless controller, too much. All of this is too much. It doesn't matter who's doing it. It's too much.
Well, controller prices didn't just get expensive. I mean, Sega Saturn, when it came out 10 years ago, the controllers were $40. They were. This isn't a new thing. We're used to paying this much for controllers. Controllers haven't been cheap for 15 years, people.
But the whole thing with the Wii is the whole playing together thing. And they've been hitting that in all the videos. And now, out of the box, it's one controller. And
out of the box. No, wait a minute. Let's talk about that. Out of the box, it's $250. With a pack-in game and no second controller so you can play with your friends, which is another $60.
Another thing is everyone's freaking out about the price, but when you look at Zelda, look how good Zelda looks. It really does look like a good game. It looks, to me, comparable to something like Cameo. If you're just a rare consumer and you see a commercial that shows you Zelda, and then you see this system comes out and costs $250, and it comes with a game. At the same time, you're seeing Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. We're really in the know. We know that, actually, those systems have a lot better graphics. But to, the regular consumer, who are the people Nintendo's going after, they're going to see this as a huge bargain that's half the price of the competitors.
Bargain my ass. Reggie was right there saying and bragging about how much money they're going to make off of everything. The reason it's expensive is because they're trying to profit off of every single piece of it.
Right away.
I think you're so angry here about this pricing structure. It's really shocking to me.
Surprise, a company wants to make money. This is actually a company that can make money off hardware.
At the same time, what we're not getting into is
I'm surprised that a company with an inferior piece of technology is so hell-bent to make money that they price themselves out of their advantage.
But the inferior piece of technology is irrelevant in this because they're not going after...
It's not irrelevant when they raise themselves into the price stratosphere of the other consoles.
But they haven't. But the hardware isn't.
It isn't.
A 30 gig iPod is $250.
This is not an iPod we're talking about.
I know, an iPod does a lot less.
And when you talk about miniaturized componentry, it's much more expensive. Your laptop that's sitting in front of you is far more expensive than a comparably equipped home computer because it's all miniaturized to fit in there. An iPod you can carry around in your pocket.
Garnet, you're getting all flustered. You're going to have a heart attack, old man. It is not that expensive.
People do not buy technology. They buy functionality.
$200 was the magic price for this console. They didn't do that.
You're pulling the magic price out of your ass. You know nothing. What are you basing
this on? I know nothing. I know it on perception.
Shane, you said last week it was going to be $150. Kiss my ass.
I heard that from somebody else. I didn't believe that. I thought it was going to be around $200, $250. I thought it would be $200 without a game. It's $250 with a game. I think that's a fine price. I'm excited.
So where are you getting that from?
I'm excited about paying that price.
Where are you getting that from? You pulling that out of your ass?
No, it's what Nintendo said. They said it was going to be $250, which is half the price of the competitors. Half. I mean, it's not like they're charging $399 or something.
They're charging $310, basically.
You don't have to buy the second controller.
How many? Because part of it is, if you want. I mean, at the moment they seem to be moving. It is that okay? I buy one, you buy one. We get together. I bring my controller with me.
Right, right.
Which is a bullshit approach, but that is kind of the approach.
It's how they tried to sell connectivity too.
Yeah,
your Game Boy and your Game Boy Cable and come over and play games. That didn't work.
This is a question I have for you, Luke. So in Japan, the game Welcome to Wii, which I think is called Wii Party here, it comes with a controller when you buy it. Do you know if that's happening here when that eventually comes out?
I haven't heard anything about that happening.
Yeah, in Japan, it's bundled with a Wiimote for a regular price. So that right there is your other, you know, is your other controller and a game for $50.
Well, Luke, you've been pretty outspoken about the capabilities of the machine and how, you know, the Wii was, you know, basically a current gen technology with a new peripheral attached to it. What's your take?
Well, it's absolutely still my take. I've seen nothing to convince me otherwise. I do think, however, that a year from now it'll probably be, we're starting to see the game being, the system being used the way that Nintendo wants it to be used, and I think that it's a lot like the DS syndrome, where when the DS came out, I thought that the DS was a piece of garbage, and now I think, you know, I played Advance Wars the whole way out here, and it's, you know, it's not, and there is some great use of the touchscreen, but I'm concerned when I'm playing games like, you know, Marvel Ultimate Alliance on the Wii, and it's like, there's no point to, and Marvel Ultimate Alliance, for example, even sort of eschews the Wii controls, and is like, okay, well, if you don't want to waggle your controller around, just press B instead to do this move.
I mean, I think we're going to see a lot of that from third parties.
Yeah, and see, games like that I have a huge problem with, because, like, I do see the Wii as like this. It has the potential to do what Nintendo wants it to do and to change the way people play games. But when publishers just sort of half-ass, hokey-pokey their way into these, like, hackneyed bullshit control schemes, then yeah, you know what? It's going to make Nintendo's Wii look even worse than it is, because you're going to have these publishers just being like, well, we can maybe sell another 45,000 copies on this platform, downgrade and port it over. And that's stupid.
I think it just might be a launch thing, though, because you kind of saw similar things with 360, like the first generation Madden. They just did it to cash in.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take a year before you start seeing the real creative stuff.
I think the DS is a better analogy, because on DS you still see like shitty kids games and crap that they're just like, oh, it's a map up top or whatever. But I think we're going to always see that. I think, you know, every kid's game is going to come out on Wii, but there's still going to be awesome third-party games. Like, look at Resident Evil. Like, Resident Evil is exactly what I wanted. It's, you know, it complements Resident Evil 5 at the same time, but it uses the Wii, you know, effectively. I think it's awesome.
Is that a light gun game?
No. It uses, you know, you aim with the Wii controller, but it plays like RE4. It plays specifically like the Mercenaries mode, or whatever that's called at the end. It's like,
I think it's Mercenaries.
Yeah, it's like where you just like play through it really fast, and it's more like a shooter, and I think it looks awesome. People are haters.
There's still some problems with the whole like Wiimote censoring, and like the way you actually, when you're playing the games, it wasn't necessarily the best environment to play at Nintendo, because what it was we were in this room where they did the presentation, and to the right side of the room were like 40 kiosks set up, and so you had to stand 5 or 6 feet away to sort of make sure that the sensor picks you up on these big TVs and the sensor or whatever, and it's not conducive to, you know, being around a ton of people. And the other thing is, it's so, it becomes so easy for the sensor to go off the screen that you'd walk around and you'd see all these people sort of with confused looks on their faces, like, why the fuck can't I play this game right? And that's a huge problem, I think, with the Wii, and it extends further to stuff like, you know, Ultimate Alliance or even Metroid. If you watch the video on the 1UP show, I don't know if they use footage of me actually playing the game, but it's like watching you know, a very special child trying to play something.
There's a learning curve. At E3 with Zelda, I felt retarded when I was playing it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and that's not how video games should make you feel. Like, they should not make you feel dumb. And especially not a console that's like, we want to be really intuitive and we want to make it easy for everyone.
Yeah.
I can't see
but like some of the games are intuitive, like, you know, like table tennis, duh, no one's going to spend 5 minutes trying to figure that out.
Tennis.
The game that's not Pilot Wings, what's it called?
Wing Island.
Wing Island, did you try that?
I didn't get to try that. I think,
because I mean, that looks like, you know, you hold it like a plane. Toy plane, you know, which seems exactly the way that the developers need to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Did you play boxing, Luke? Did you play Wii Boxing?
I didn't get to play Boxing.
It looks fun.
But it looked like fun.
Yeah, it did look like fun.
Can you just rattle through the stuff you did play?
I played the entire Wii Play Suite, Metroid Prime Corruption, Marvel Ultimate Alliance, Twilight Princess, WarioWare, Mii Channel, Trauma Center, which was really cool.
Is it hard?
Actually.
Is it as hard as a DS game?
It's easy. I mean, it's easier, and they had everything on easy. I played Madden, and like what I played from Madden was actually like not horrible.
I hear the passing is either love it or hate it. The passing is like kind of weird.
Well, I played like a bunch of the mini games, like from the training camp modes for Madden, and they were actually pretty cool. Like going through and doing the passing drill, it was something like you press down on the the dummies that you're passing to are mapped to different buttons on the control pad, like different directions or the A button or something. And then, so the icon flashes and you like press down and then flick your wrist to throw it. And the way you flick your wrist affected how the ball flew. And that was actually not terrible. I don't know that, I don't know that I would want to play a whole game of Madden like that, but as far as just going through the mini games, it was kind of cool.
Okay, but you know what? Listening to his voice, the most enthusiastic he's been about any of these games is freaking Madden.
Well, I mean, Luke is not exactly the person we expected to fall in love with Wii at this event. He's been kind of, you know, he's had his mind made up since
E3. I'm super excited for Twilight Princess. Super excited.
On the GameCube.
On my GameCube.
Exactly.
I think we're looking at the whole thing wrong. This thing is not for us.
Exactly.
It's not, you know, you got guys from EGM one up sat around bitching about something that's too simple, and it isn't. It isn't for us. They don't care. They want new people to play games. They want things that aren't scary and aren't, you know, the traditional video games just aren't going to work. It's going to be, you know, flying something like a toy plane or hitting something with a stick. That's what's going to work.
The cooking game.
The cooking game.
Then let me go back to the $250 price, because then they have a problem, because if it's $250 with a pack-in sports game, then you're going to be comparing directly.
For a lot of people, the pack-in sports game is all they need.
Okay, then why don't they just buy one of those $30 plug into the television sports games that does exactly the same thing?
Oh, instead of an iPod, why don't I buy an old tape player?
Fucking Mommy, I'm not going to look any
Mommy,
better.
I don't want the game with Pokemon. I don't want that at all. No, you're retarded. Like, Pokemon also, the only game online this year, apparently.
Yeah,
that's kind of surprising.
Yeah, it is the only game that's online.
Only
this
game
year,
online
sort
this
of
year.
One of the
but it's the game people want the most, probably, in the Nintendo generation.
I
think we're getting hung up on the $250. Like, $600 is a lot of money.
Yeah, $250 is not.
$250 these days is for the fully functioned version of something is about the price you pay. The PSP was that when it launched. The iPod, if you want the properly functioned one, that's how much it costs them.
Well, think about, what was the last home console to launch at $250? Oh, right, you can't think of one.
GameCube was $199.
This is the most expensive
Every
Nintendo
other
launch.
Console before it.
But the GameCube
It's not 50. Look, I'll be the first to admit, $50 is not a huge amount of money. The difference between $250 and $200 is not a big deal. What is a big deal is that...
But the way you're reacting to it, you're acting like it is.
Yeah, because I'm trying to make the point, and you guys are so dead set that it's not an issue. You're, like, cock-blocking that whole thing, whereas it is an issue. Well, $250 versus $199 in public perception is a perceptive difference.
But $250 versus $399 and $499 and $599, that's a bigger difference.
If they'd have gone any cheaper in context, it would have cheapened it out of contention.
And then the first price drop would have made that worse.
You launch at $199, how many price cuts can you do before you're non-existent?
Right.
I mean, if this thing's going to have some life, and it's not, it can't be.
I would tell you this, the PS2 pricing, the bump the PS2 sees every time they lower the price in how many of the units they sell would argue you're differently, because every time they drop the price on that damn thing, it sells more units.
Right. So you have to start at a level where you can cut, because otherwise you run out of opportunity.
If you cut too much right away.
You launch at $199, like, unless you're going to do, when Sony cuts $20 off, it doesn't do anything.
Right.
When they cut $50 off, it does. Mm-hmm. So you go from $199 and you're down to $149 and then you got one to go.
Yeah.
Speaking of Nintendo's smart pricing decisions, I think the virtual console pricing is excellent. It's exactly what
I
we talked about.
That.
It makes sense. It's 5, 8, and 10.
I totally agree
and
with that.
And like, people think, oh, $10 is too much. No, you're paying like $8 for like Feeding Frenzy and Xbox Live. You won't pay $10 for Ocarina of Time.
I was afraid that N64 games would be like 20 or 15.
Yeah,
$10
is perfect.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to start any argument there. We're all in agreement about that, I think.
But one thing I want to talk about, though, about the virtual console pricing is the way that they did sort of skew, like, because Jeremy wrote about this in his blog, and I thought about it too, was the way that they did sort of skew the pricing where it's like 100 yen equals a dollar. Like, that's, I mean,
right,
that's
now,
not really the
right
case.
Now it's 117 yen equal dollar.
But the actual pricing, like I said on this week's One Up show, the actual pricing for the virtual console stuff didn't particularly bother me. I thought that it was pretty much what I expected it to be.
Yeah, I thought they hit the number on that one. So, surprise, we're not arguing.
We all agree.
No argument about the virtual console. You know what? That's because we're all excited about being able to play that stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. That's really where
that makes this an uninteresting segment.
It does. That's
where we all love each other.
That's where they're going to load up their launch lineup so that they have titles to play on this device after you buy it, right?
Well, another point I made when we were promoting this thing is people are upset that they're not showing like a lot of first party titles yet, but you know, they're holding their hand back and they're kind of letting it sink in. Do you really need like Zelda and Mario and Smash Brothers at launch? Would you have time for all that? Probably not. And like, this gives them a chance to like spread them out and not overload people too quickly with big name games. I think it's fine.
There's definitely a lot of developer industry Kennedy from over in Kennedy had to do that to him.
Kennedy.
That's a little office joke. Kennedy has been talking about Matsuno developing for Wii in a news story here. And apparently, for those of you who don't know, Matsuno was the director on Final Fantasy XII before he left. He's also done Final Fantasy Tactics and Ogre Battle. Apparently, he's very, very happy with the Wii. He talks about how he likes the controller. However, when he tried it on Mario Galaxy, he realized this was a controller fit the game almost scarily well. Allows you to intuitively feel the game and its atmosphere. Did you try the Mario game, Luke? I didn't hear.
I don't think it was playable.
No, you know, I didn't actually get to try the Mario game because I was busy playing the games that Matt Leon didn't want to. But and Matt Leon loves them. Like, he played it for part of the afternoon, and then as they were shutting down the event at like 3:45. It ended at 4. Matt Leon was there from 3:45 to like 4:10 with his fucking goofy ass grin on his face, like he just got head from Kratos, God of War.
Wow!
How happy this dude looked, and he's like, "This game's perfect for it." And that's what Nintendo's gonna do. And you were sort of breaking up from the Skype signal there, okay. Mario, but. So I hope that you didn't say this already, but the stuff that Nintendo really spends their time working on for the console, and I'm not looking at you, Twilight Princess, but the stuff like Mario Galaxy, where it's going to be sort of tailor-made for the console, that's going to be the sort of stuff that's going to be the most exciting that we're going to see from Nintendo, I think, as far as exciting to us, like hardcore gamers, not, you know, hey, cool, tennis.
Yeah, I was talking about what Masuno said, and he actually went on to echo that exact same thing. He says, graphics have evolved. There are many games claiming that this generates a more realistic atmosphere. However, there are very few games that have a control interface that lives up to that atmosphere. With the Wii controller, you can actually feel like you're touching or living in the atmosphere. Shane agrees. Shane is not in head. He's like, yeah, I mean, Matsuno's onto something.
Matsuno's a little bit of a nut, but yeah, I look forward to seeing what he does.
I think the Wii is really going to show the divide between the really creative people and the people who are just going to cash in. Like all the Activision ports and right. All that stuff.
Speaking of ports, did you play any of the Ubisoft stuff? Play Splinter Cell or Far Cry?
I didn't see Far Cry. Red Steel.
How's that looking?
That's looking like it's... I hope it gets delayed for like another 2 years.
It's the wrong game at the wrong time.
Oops. Yeah, it's the wrong... It's not the right kind
of
game.
Didn't they spend a lot of money on that game?
It's the right kind of game, and that I believe it's going to sell really well for them. I think it'll sell pretty decently. But it's not the right kind of game as far as how Nintendo should want to be featuring their console. And it's great that Ubisoft is so supportive of the Wii because Ubisoft's an extremely powerful and potent third-party developer. But this is not an example of what's working. Rayman, however, is. A lot of people were like, dude, you play Rayman? It's so awesome. I think it's great. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, a lot of people really like Rayman. So they sort of are hitting on both. They're sort of at both ends of the spectrum with those two games, I think.
Metroid Prime has been super popular here, and I know that was one of the games you started off talking about. Give us some details on what you played, what the level was like, how did it interact with the game?
You got a lot of flack for your preview, didn't you?
I'm sorry, you asked about Metroid?
Yeah.
Yeah, just give us a little more depth on that, because I think that's one of the most popular games for the Western market.
Yeah, well, Ryan O'Donnell and I talked about it a lot. There's some technical difficulties.
We got you.
We got you good. Just talk.
Okay, Ryan O'Donnell and I talked about it a lot last night and a lot at the show. As far as there's just a part of the cursor speed feels really incongruent in Metroid, where like in the immediate visor vicinity, that cursor flies around. But when you get to the edges, everything slows while Samus turns. And there was a preview written for another website that talked about this mode, Expert Mode, and claimed it solved everything. And all of a sudden you were, you know, turning on a dime and... That's not necessarily what I experienced. However, the demo for Corruption, the new level, there's a flood like Halo entity on the spacecraft that you encounter after a scripted event. There's some like scripted events that trigger different events in the demo, which is really cool to be like running through the space station, and then, you know, a door explodes, a dude gets blown up, and you turn around and run back into this other room, and like space pirates have taken over the room. You clean out the space pirates from the room, and you get an item, which led to the coolest part of the whole demo for me, which was, like I talked about earlier, that hand in a space system. And I think that Metroid Prime 3 Corruption has, I think it's going to end up being really good, but I still think that they're struggling with a way to make it control. Like, I would really like it if the cursor was locked at the center of the screen, so then when you turned, it was like a more typical FPS kind of.
Yeah, they really should give a lot of...
I'm sure you can relate.
They should let you customize the controls. I mean, they really should, I think. I hope.
Go ahead.
Well, the expert mode, allegedly, like you said, from what Matt Casamassina, whatever, I always mess up his name pronunciation. It's what, from what he wrote, expert mode really fixes that, and we need to get our hands on that definitely to make that comparison.
Well, it's interesting because Shu was saying they had expert mode at E3 and he played it there.
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't actually new and it was better. That's what he was saying.
Huh.
But
expert mode didn't strike me when I was messing around with it as the be all end all correct control scheme for Metroid Prime 3. But like I said in the preview too, I think, was that, you know, this game's a long ways off still. You know, where it's not done. It is changing, it is evolving. And I mean, while I didn't particularly care for Echoes necessarily, I mean, Metroid Prime universally is, you know, accepted as an excellent game, and I expect that Corruption, when it's done, is going to be the same.
Luke, what did it feel more like a shooter, or did it feel like a Metroid game? Because I think one of the things that did Metroid Prime for me on Cube was that you were in a first-person world, but it didn't feel like a first-person shooter. It felt like a Metroid game.
Yeah, well, I think because of the nature of the demoing situation where you only have a few minutes to play the game, I think that it probably feels a lot more shootery than it will in the final game, because what made Prime so good was, like you were talking about, it was that sense of atmosphere. And I remember playing Prime, and you know, it is this haunting, empty world. And the Corruption demo doesn't feel anything like that. I mean, there's action in every room. There's always something going on in front of you. And it doesn't give you that sense of atmosphere. It doesn't give you that sense of, I mean, because you're in, and the other thing is, you're in like a claustrophobic, busy ass spaceship. It's not gonna trigger that atmosphere just yet. That's gonna be, you know, where we go next off the spaceship. It's gonna be hopefully where we see that atmosphere emerge. I just don't think that a demo like that is the right place for them to showcase the atmosphere of Metroid Prime.
What about the visor? Was that worked into the demo at all?
Ryan O'Donnell scanned a bunch of stuff, but beyond that, it wasn't
a lot of scanning.
I mean, I was just running around like an idiot shooting stuff.
Did they have the Big Brain Academy demo at the English one in New York?
Yeah, they did, actually. They had the Big Brain Academy game.
Did you play it?
Brian Crescenti from Kotaku and I squared off on that.
Is it fun?
Did you own him?
You're pretty smart.
Yeah, destroyed. Just destroyed. And that was cool. I could see it being fun, you know, going back and forth with a friend, you know, playing, you know,
for 10 minutes.
That.
For 10 minutes.
At the same time, like, that's another game where I don't necessarily know why it would have to be on the Wii. Like, oh, great, I'm pointing and moving blocks that don't add up to the number 13 out of this, out of here. Cool. I you could do that with a controller. It's not necessarily, you know, using the functionality.
Well, there you have it on that. Kind of ended the Big Brain thing on a down note. Oh, that's okay. I mean, that's things that they have to sort out, and maybe Big Brain doesn't lend itself that well to it. What other games do we need to hit that we haven't hit? Well, you said you played all of the Play Suite. We talked about shooting. We talked about billiards. What else was in the Play Suite?
What about the new Zelda controls? There's some mix-up on that.
The new Zelda controls, they took some of the, like, because it was really cumbersome and awkward, and I remember when we talked about it at E3, it was just really fucking goofy to try and shoot the bow and arrow, mm-hmm. And you could see it, like, you could see the frustration, like, curling on people's faces when they're trying to, like, shoot the bow and arrow with the elevated enemies, and, like, the guys doing the demo are like, no, just point it up there and shoot them, and people are like, motherfucker, I can't point it up there and shoot them. Leave me alone. What they did, basically, was they remapped the controls to make it a little bit better, and I talked with a guy from the game, a guy who's been working on the game off the record about the changes, and not necessarily the why, but he had been saying that, like, for the last 2 months, all he's been doing is hold up in his office playing the Twilight Princess. And he said that it is going to be the longest and best Zelda to date, and that I can count on it.
Yeah, we've heard that,
so that
from
was some
several
good,
people
like,
now.
Nintendo hype. The actual swords, like the sword swing and the nunchuck, move the nunchuck in a 360 motion to do that, the spin move that you see so much, that's cool. That's all right. And the shield slam was in, I believe, in the E3 demo. But I mean, it's fun, but I don't know that it's needed. Really, it doesn't seem like it's built for it. It doesn't seem like the game was built to accompany it. It seems like they were like, ooh, people are going to want Zelda. We should launch with this. If we move this to the Wii launch, then we can probably sell more units, and then we'll delay the other one, and the controller's going to be good. We'll remap everything, and it's still whatever. GameCube.
I guess it's time to let him bring this thing home for us. You spent the whole, you know, last day and a half messing around with Wii. You've heard the prices. You've heard everything. Bring it home with a, you know, like a sum up of everything you saw and what you think of the Wii and how it performed in this presentation.
If you're going to buy the Wii this year, I think that it's sort of like buying the PS3 in that with both consoles, you're paying for potential. The difference, besides $350.
Which is a big difference.
Yeah, which is a big difference, which is another Wii, actually. The difference is, you know, pretty obvious in what you're getting between the two consoles if you're looking to adopt. I think that, like, looking in the grander scheme of things with the console war, this all plays very, very well for Microsoft, who now has the luxury of dropping their price to undercut, to, like, compete with Nintendo more. And that could be something that could be extremely interesting if Microsoft does. As far as, like, Nintendo's products and the Wii, I think that in a year, everyone will want one who doesn't have one. I just think that for me personally, the time to adopt isn't going to be now. It'll be, you know, it'll be when Mario Galaxy comes out. It'll be when it's time to get Super Smash Brothers. It'll be when Super Paper Mario comes to the Wii, if it does. I heard Bill Trennan say to someone, like, no, we haven't, I don't know where that came from. I don't know where that rumor that it's moving to the Wii came from. Huh. I also heard a different Nintendo executive say, yeah, we're already working on the next console. We're really looking forward to the next console. Once this one ships, the way we work is, you know, we finish one up and start working on the next one. So we're going to ship this one this year and get right back to work on the next one.
Do you still think that's normal?
Wii HD 2008.
I was just going to ask you, do you think Wii 2 years?
Yeah, no, if it works well, I think that you would be, you know, I don't think anyone would be surprised, given the way Nintendo's handled the DS and the DS Lite. I don't think anyone would be surprised if in 2 years they're like, and now here's a new version of this with some increased and improved functionality.
Well, that's Luke summing it up for us live from New York. Can't beat that. It's almost like Saturday night, except it's not. Don't think that just because Luke's there, we don't have news for you coming back on the other side, because we've got plenty of news. John's been working on it. Skip's been working on it. I have a stack of news stuff. So we'll be back on the other side of the break with plenty of news for you.
Welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.1up.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. In a world ripped apart by war, only one magazine.
Want more extreme tech? Well, now you can join the crew of expert analysts for our weekly podcast. They'll give you the lowdown on the latest technology news, product reviews, and let you know what's coming up. Just go to extremetech.com to subscribe.
You're listening to One Up Yours on the One Up Radio Network.
All right, and after all the Nintendo talk, it seems only right that we start off on the news segment with some Sony news. And Luke was digging around in financial news and got this connection between Sony and X-Fire, which has now been disputed as to what it's going to be. Shane, you've been one of the biggest supporters of Sony. So what do you think about this whole announcement? Well, where are they going?
It was a roller coaster ride, because originally Luke found that they were partnering to provide some sort of content for the, what's it even called now? Untold Legend.
Untold Legend.
It has a new name. I don't even remember what it's called.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, it's like something Untold Legends. That game for PS3. And
Box Guy.
that one. So Luke did digging and, you know, came to this conclusion that Sony was going through X-Fire for their whole online matching service. And X-Fire, if you don't know what it is, it's kind of like Xbox Live, but free and for PC.
And well established.
And well established,
well
liked.
It actually started, the Untold Legends things was actually the thing that sealed it. We were looking through the .ini file for X-Fire, and Untold Legends is actually listed as supported in the application. Where the story, we'd heard some rumors that this was happening, and we went through Viacom's quarterly earning reports, and there was actually a statement in there that said that because Viacom acquired Xfire earlier this year, late last year, for like $102 million or something.
Which is a huge amount of money to pay for that.
Well, something that property. Everyone was like, well, why did they do that? And it said, and it's just like two lines in the statement saying that, you know, they're very pleased that, about their relationship with Sony for the PS3.
Right.
It wasn't specific to a product. It wasn't specific to SOE. It just said with Sony on PS3. And this tied with the rumors that we'd heard previously. I think it was, who knows? I mean, we'll know for sure in a week at TGS.
And the thing is, it would be a really smart decision because it's this well-established, wonderful service that 5 million people already use that would instantly give them a great competitor to Xbox Live. But of course, everyone backpedaled and be like, oh, that's just for one small aspect of the game. It doesn't mean that we're have a broad-reaching partnership with Sony, blah, blah, blah. You know, wait until TGS. So yeah. I think when we see that, the big keynote at TGS.
It would be really smart if they did use something existing. It would give them, it wouldn't give them all the functionality of Xbox Live, but it would give the player matching, buddy list management, all the stuff that, and they could spit it out as an XML feed, so you can have gamer cards, all that stuff.
Right. And I was also reading, apparently it has some functionality that's kind of like the Xbox Live Anywhere functionality.
It has a lot of that kind of
stuff. Yeah, so like, that kind of would, like, even the
where
new stuff
you can connect with people online and see what people are playing and track what games
it wouldn't make sense for them just to do one game.
That's the point that kills me.
And that game.
They're testing it with Untold Legend. And the other thing, I think the confusion is, this casts some light on the confusion over PNP. PNP is not Xbox Live. PNP is a strategy. Mm-hmm. It's what XNA used to be before they... I mean, XNA still doesn't exist as a product. It's a concept. Mm-hmm. And PNP is the same thing. I think it will be a lot like we saw on the PS2, where the online strategy for that was preferred middleware, things like GameSpy. And I think that we'll see a suite of these things that people are using. Mm-hmm. And if you want the common functionality in your game, it's going to use this piece of software, and there's an extremely good chance that what we see is going to be based on Xfire.
Yeah,
and I hope so, because otherwise, if they're not pulling our leg, that just plays into the whole thing that people have argued, well, they're just going to fragment online, because if one game has one sort of community management system, and another one has another sort of community management
within
system.
Within Sony themselves.
It's going to be fragmented anyway, because anything beyond player matching, anything where you need to pay for content and the microtransaction stuff, you're going to be giving your credit card details to a bunch of different people. Mm-hmm. I think that's the one major complaint about the strategy that people are really starting to come out and criticize is, okay, if I want to download content for GT, I'm paying Sony, but if I'm downloading content for Test Drive,
I'm open to being proven otherwise, but I still think I like the Live model.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that. But whatever we're playing, we're going to be playing it with the six axis. That's the true. Six axis.
They can't very well call the DualShock anymore.
It doesn't shock.
So
it's a palindrome.
It's a palindrome. It's cool.
I'm just going to go ahead and call it the controller.
Six-axis.
The PS3 controller.
You don't like the six-axis? It's like the dawning of the age of the six-axis.
Six-six-six.
So this is it is what the controller is called.
Yeah.
You look on test, the trademark search thing. It's there with the logo. And six-axis is actually how they've been referring to it descriptively in statements. In fact, we found a press release that I think said six-axis as a hyphenated expression, I think, three times. So, but I've been trying to work out what the six axes are. Because it doesn't support sort of in and out.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's up and down, left and right.
There's an X,
twisting around.
And I guess, which is a little ambiguous, because it won't do what the Wii will do.
Right.
There's none of that sort of reaching in the control that you can do.
Exactly.
So I think it might be sort of them referring to tilting, maybe.
Yeah.
Unless they surprise us this week. Who knows? It's not without precedent that they bust something out last minute with a controller.
They are going to bust something out at TGS. There's really no place to talk about TGS. I'll just throw this in here. Apparently, there's some big, big secret PS3 games that no one knows about that are going to be at TGS.
Awesome.
That are important.
Good. They really need that kind of PR hitting right now.
Yeah.
That is a potential Barry Bonds one into water.
Might be a megaton or two out there. You never know.
Definitely would be fantastic. I don't know if it's going to be a megaton.
And the message boards erupt.
Might be a megaton.
I don't know whether this even amounts to a megaton anymore, but what about this PSP bundle strategy
that's not a megaton.
Yeah.
What's a megadumb?
Really?
Oh, are we talking about the bundle with like the Lords of Dogtown and that thing?
Right. So the strategy going into Christmas
to make PSP more expensive. That's a great strategy.
Yeah. with a movie that's... why that one?
They probably had a lot of copies laying around. It's a Sony's Pictures film.
Maybe they're feeling threatened with the iPods.
I'd hope so after this week. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I think the thing with the PSP problem right now is... they're still dicking around with memory stick pricing. I don't know if you did. You see the movie pack that they started doing?
Very weird.
It's a memory stick with a free download. It doesn't give you the Sony download management software. It's like a stripped down version of it. So you get to go and choose a free movie, and it can be SWAT or some other shit. I don't know what it is. It's like three
Stealth,
movies.
Stealth, I think.
Stealth
maybe
is one of them.
But awesome.
The pack is like $60. SanDisk is selling a 1 gig stick for $29 now, which means you're paying over the odds for a download movie when you buy the Sony one. I mean, what the hell are they doing?
Wow.
That question keeps coming up with regard to Sony, doesn't
well,
it?
Because UMD Video is kind of a flop, although despite the fact they're packing one in now, they do want people to start putting video on memory sticks.
Right.
For the next generation.
Let's charge ridiculous amounts of money for it.
Yeah, you know, people get upset because we're so dismissive of PSP, but it's tough these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have to prove otherwise with the game software to make the whole rest of the package work. It's a game player.
No, there are some games. Like apparently, there's a Parappa remake at TGS. I'm excited about that.
I'm looking forward to PSP at TGS.
And
I
actually,
hope they have something.
They do something. And I just caught wind. Square has something unexpected.
Wow.
So
good.
More TGS stuff to look
more
forward
TGS
to.
More TGS stuff.
Next week's podcast could be all right.
That could be
okay.
Both you and Shane are going to be in Japan. We're going to be.
You guys are going to call in, right?
Yeah. We are definitely going to call in. We're going to be like sorting that out.
It's going to be like 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. here in San Francisco, and it's going to be like
we'll all be drunk.
God
anyway.
Knows what
Don't
in
worry.
Japan. It's going to be awesome. We're all going to be drunk and delirious. Yeah. It's going to be great.
But yeah, we'll have laptops and Skype, and we'll get that all sorted out. We'll be on the tip.
Let's talk about the iPod thing very briefly, because I thought it was interesting this week that we had two press conferences from people with like fervent followings. And in a lot of ways, I think the response to both Apple just doing anything and Nintendo doing anything is the same kind of rabid response.
It's funny, I was mentioning before the show that Microsoft actually had a press conference between those two for the Zune, and no one noticed.
Did anyone even know?
The final Zunes, they showed everything, and no one noticed.
Anyway. Zune is actually going to be at retail in November, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
30 gig.
But not that anyone appears to be paying attention.
About the crappy games on iPod.
I know. It's such a sort of throwaway thing for them. I think they're doing it because they can.
Yeah.
They're kind of expensive for what they are.
Yeah, and I've heard some of them are good, some of them are bad. That's what I've heard.
All right, tune me in. I actually haven't read the news story.
There's 9 games.
Tetris.
Yeah, they're like $5, $6
Tetris,
each.
Tetris, Zuma,
Bejeweled.
Bejeweled, Texas Hold'em.
Yeah. Cell phone games.
And they're massive downloads. I mean, comparatively, like...
They're like Xbox Live Arcade games,
yeah,
right?
Tetris is like a 15 meg download or something. And like, there's like Pac-Man or something is massive. It's like 9 meg. I mean, like the original Tetris was 16K.
We finally figured it out. We've been complaining about this for weeks, and John figured it out. It's because they're having to make like WAV files of the audio or something. Yeah. Instead of beeps and boops, which we were like,
there was some guy on one of the Apple blogs or forums or something went to, like, downloaded one and actually worked out that you're downloading a renamed zip file, and when you open it up, it's full of like these huge audio files and stuff.
You
so
think you'd be able to have your own custom soundtracks on the iPod.
Well, what you can do is you can actually change this file, and you can drop AAC files and JPEGs into it, so that when you look in the browser, it'll replace all the graphics and stuff. But I mean, it's such a it's more because we can. It's definitely not Apple taking on the Game Boy. It's just let's give you something else to do apart from play Breakout.
But that's the casual market that we were talking about with Wii too, isn't it? Doesn't that compete somewhat?
Isn't it competing with cell phones now?
It is definitely.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Rumored iPod cell phone.
That's apparently coming in January. It's ready. Yeah. So. But not. I think a lot of people are like, oh, iPod and gaming, and it's Apple getting. No, they're not. They're just extending functionality.
Shane, I know you wanted to get into, while we're talking about portable games, you wanted to get into Final Fantasy XII potentially for the DS.
Well, it's not potentially. It was announced. It's called Final Fantasy XII Revenant Wing, and it's a sequel of sorts. It follows the end of Final Fantasy XII, and no one's really sure, but I hear it's a strategy, kind of a tactic style game. I just wanted to pull this out because EGM in the last issue in the rumor mill talked about a Final Fantasy XIII strategy game for DS, and this is what we were talking about, where our wires were a little crossed. You know, we were going through Square's trash can.
You were 2/3 correct.
But yeah, we were pretty close.
And, that is pretty close.
So people are speculating that maybe there is also a 13 game. Well, maybe there is, but this is what we were talking about. So.
On the Microsoft front, we're not without some information there. We had information, you know, that Luke was really high on about the Halogen real-time strategy game. It's been canceled, and there's been speculation about what might be
behind
that.
Did you watch the video that Mark put up on Game Videos?
I think I'm going to do that.
The thing they were working on looked awesome.
They've been working on it for a long time, haven't they?
It was, 3 years. It was a mod for Command & Conquer Generals, which looked pretty nice to start with, but using all the Halo vehicles and units, and it looked really spectacular.
Well, when I was coming up here, Sean Elliott stopped and talked to me about this, and he said that the reason it was canceled canceled is because Microsoft hired them to make a real one. So it's not really bad news.
The rumor is that one of the things that's going to hit at XO6 might be, you know, Halo brand extension thing. So I think the obvious assumption to make is maybe an RTS.
See, now what's your thought about a Halo RTS? My thought is that could actually swing against them somewhat. Originally, Halo was going to be a PC RTS, and people were excited about that.
They made the Myth games. Those are fairly well received.
Yeah.
Not only fairly well received, they were on the cutting edge of making 3D real-time strategy games, and they were really cool. And so if you can't equal that kind of impact, like one of the things I heard was, okay, maybe Ensemble would be the team making a Halo game. I think that would be a horrible disaster.
Well, I think they are, so you'll see that in 2 weeks.
I think if they go that route, that's potentially a horrible disaster. Bruce Shelley does great job.
Age of Empires 3 a good game?
It was a good game, and their style of RTS is fantastic for what it does in the historical context, in the kind of people who